In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We do this broadcast live. I want to tell you that yesterday we did Acts 1, and if I were to give you a summary of the whole 28 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, it would be the first chapter, the 8th verse. It would summarize the whole book of the Acts of Apostles. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout the uttermost parts of the earth." Interestingly enough, the Bible doesn't tell us how you're going to get to the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm going to tell you how. Caesar built roads, and all the roads led to Rome. Oh, yes. He thought he was building the roads for himself. But you see, after Pentecost and after the persecution, the apostles and the disciples would use these roads and go preach the gospel. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That summarizes the 28 chapters of the Acts of the Apostles. We look at chapter 2. "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come," what is Pentecost for the Jews? It was the receiving of the law that Moses got on Mount Sinai. It was that celebration of the law. They were all with one accord in one place. Yes, we remember the 14th verse of chapter 1. "These all continued in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother." So they are not only in one place, but they are in one accord, one heart and one soul. "And suddenly," I love the suddenlies of God, "there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." The wind of the Spirit. Oh, how we need the wind of the Holy Ghost. How we need that God would blow in the church all of our cobwebs away, and that we would be able to dance and sing and praise God because he is risen from the dead. "It filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues of fire and sat upon each one of them." So there was fire over each of their heads, but it really was not only over their heads, it was in their hearts. Oh boy, the Holy Ghost came, wind and fire. I tell you how much I need that wind and fire of the Holy Spirit. How much the church needs that wind and fire of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you, we are afraid of the fire because the fire has a life of its own. And we want to be just institutional. I tell you, I am an institutional person, but I want the fire. I want the wind of the Spirit. I need it. I not only want it, I need it. I cannot do what I am called to do without the wind of the Spirit and the fire of God. I can't do it. I can't do it. I couldn't come to you today unless I had known and experienced that fire. And I need more of it. I need more of it. That fire that burns in our bones. That Jeremiah said, "I'm not going to speak about him anymore. But then there was a fire in my bones. I couldn't keep it to myself. I had to preach about him." You see, we need that fire. We need that wind. "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So they're speaking in other tongues. Oh, yes, fire, wind, and tongues. I tell you how we need to be able to get that baptism of the Holy Spirit into us, that we too could speak in other tongues. Yes, why not? This was God's way. I tell you, I was afraid of this gift of tongues. I was afraid. I didn't want it. But I never forget, I was on my bed one night, and I had been so filled with the Spirit of God that I started to pray in other languages. And I wasn't afraid anymore, because it was done in the very power of God. I remember many years ago, when I was with the priest, we were praying for Mariana Reynolds to receive the gift of tongues. And just as we were praying, she didn't know it, she received that gift that night at that hour. We need to know that God wants to give us these gifts that help us grow. The gift of tongues is for our own edification, so that we would be edified and we would delve into the mystery of Christ risen from the dead. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Why are there Jews from every nation under heaven? They were celebrating the giving of the law. But I'm telling you now, it is not the law, but the Jeremiah 31:31 says that I'm going to write my law on their hearts, and everyone shall know God. You will have no need to teach about God. This is the giving of the Spirit. Imagine, the Spirit was given on the day that the law was given, because the law and the prophets all refer to Jesus Christ. Now when this noise went abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speaking in his own language. They were from all over the earth, yes. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Behold, are not all these Galileans speaking? And how do we hear every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? We are Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia. We live in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in all parts of Libya. We live in Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" And others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." It seems like some people heard them in their own native tongues. Other people heard them just in tongues, and not their own native tongues. He said, "These men are drunk. These men are drunk." And now Peter is going to give his Pentecost address. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Men of Judea, and all you who dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day." What's he saying? They're not drunk. The barrooms aren't open. The barrooms aren't open. What you hear is not the new wine. What you hear is the new wine of the Spirit, the new wind of the Spirit, the new fire of the Spirit. That's what you hear. Oh, yes, that's what you hear. And I tell you, if we needed anything in the church today, we need that new wine, that new wind, and that new power, that new fire. I tell you, that's true. It's really true. You know, when Pope John the 23rd opened the Vatican Council, he prayed that there would be a new Pentecost. Yes, with that wind and that fire and that word that goes out, "My Lord." This is what he prayed for. And I remember praying for the same thing, because he asked the faithful to pray for a new Pentecost. And then when the new Pentecost comes, people think that these people are crazy. I'm telling you that God wants to baptize us in the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Men of Galilee, and all you who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known unto you. Hearken to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what Joel the prophet spoke of. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. He's preaching from Joel's 2. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire, vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. And it shall come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's his name? Jesus. Whoever shall call upon the name of Jesus shall be saved. What did Joel say? I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. We need that. In the Old Testament, there were only few people who got the Spirit. Samuel, the prophets, David, the king, that everyone did not get the Spirit. But in the New Covenant, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. All flesh, old and young alike. We need to seek Jesus for the baptism of the Spirit. We need to seek Jesus that he would flood us with that wind, with that fire, with that power that filled the house that day. Because this is God's will, that we be able to proclaim the mighty wonders of God in Christ Jesus. Let me tell you again that if the Spirit is truly working in people, we proclaim Jesus Christ. We adore Jesus Christ. We magnify Jesus Christ. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, how? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in the midst of you. As you yourselves know, Jesus did wonders, signs, and miracles. He raised up the widow's son at Nain. He opened the eyes of the blind man. He promised living water to the woman at the well. Oh, he healed blind Bartimaeus. He opened the ears of people. I'm telling you, Jesus was approved by God through the seeing of the miracles of wonders and signs which God did by him. Yes, God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know. Remember what Jesus said, I only do what God tells me to do. I only say what God tells me to say, my Father, I only say what my Father tells me to say, and I only do what my Father tells me to do. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, and ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by wicked hands and crucified and killed him. It was God's will that allowed this. It was God's foreknowledge that allowed this. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was impossible that death should keep hold of him. Why was it impossible that death could not keep hold of Jesus? Because he is the author of life. He is the author of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. For David spoke concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you let your Holy One see corruption. I tell you, he was raised on the third day. Why? Because if one more minute elapsed, the body would have started to decay. But he did not let his Holy One see corruption. Though thou hast made known to me the ways of life, shall make me full of joy with your countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of a patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. See, David wasn't talking about himself. He was dead and buried, and he was pointing to the tomb. This tomb is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus God raised up. Therefore, we are all witnesses of this. Oh, yes, these apostles were witnesses of his resurrection. But let me tell you this. He came in the risen as risen Savior when he wanted to come. He didn't come when the disciples wanted him to come. I remember when Peter said to the disciples, I'm going fishing. And Peter had been called from the fishing nets. But he couldn't wait for the next time Jesus was going to show himself to him. He said, I'm going back to something familiar. I need to go back to something familiar. I'm going to go fishing. And when he went fishing, Jesus was on the shore. And he said to them, children, have you caught any meat? And they said, no. Throw your nets to the right side. And there was 153 fish that filled those nets. John said, it is the Lord. And Peter puts on his clothes and jumps into the water. And when they get to the shore, there's fish already on the charcoal grill. I'm telling you, Jesus said, come and have breakfast with me. You see, the apostles didn't know when Jesus was going to show up again. The resurrected Christ comes when he wants to come. And yes, he taught them of the kingdom of God. He taught them the things of God. This is real. But he showed up when he wanted to show up. Let's continue. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. This Jesus God raised up, therefore we are all witnesses of his resurrection. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father's promise, the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you now see and hear. In other words, he has been crucified, he has been resurrected, and now he pours out the Spirit of God from the throne of God, what you now see and hear. Oh, how we need to see the action of the Holy Spirit, how we need to know the ways of God, how we need to know the power of the resurrection, how we need to know that he is not dead, he's alive. You know the old song, God's not dead, he's alive. God's not dead, he's alive. God's not dead, he's alive. I feel it in my hands, I feel it in my feet, I feel it all over me. How we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Some people call it revival. I don't care what you call it. That's what we need. We need that, but it's never going to be done without repentance. It's about repentance that the Lord comes. For David is not ascended into heaven, but he said not of himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Yes. How? Through his death, burial, and resurrection. Now when they heard this, they were pricked to the heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. Repent and be baptized. We baptize children, but you know what? That life of baptism is the life of grace. I believe in baptizing children, but I also believe that the children must be raised in the faith of the church, in the faith of the Bible. Yes. That's this wonderful thing. We have a little girl named Rosalind. She's about 6 or 7 months old. Her mother and father are both wonderful Christians. This baby was baptized and will be raised in a house that loves and knows the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, I believe in infant baptism. Jesus said, Let the children, little children come unto me. That's what he said. Do not forbid them to come unto me. For thus is the kingdom of heaven. Let's continue. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, the crowd, to your children, their offspring, and to all who are far off, that's us, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The promise of the Holy Spirit is to all who are far off, that's us. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And when they were gladly received his word, they were baptized that same day. How many? There were added unto them, unto the church, 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching and doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of the bread, yes, the Eucharist, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed together had all things in common. How we need to be in one accord in the church. For only when we are in one accord does the Holy Spirit come. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread, the Eucharist, from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord added to the church daily such that would be saved. I need to have the Holy Spirit. I need to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit. I need to know the power of God so that I can preach Jesus in season and out of season, when convenient and inconvenient. How I need the Holy Spirit. How I need the wind of the Spirit. How I need the fire of the Spirit. How I need the glory of God to fill me. You see, there's never enough. We could keep on keeping on. More of thee and less of me. More of thee and less of me. That's what we should be praying. More of the Holy Spirit and less of me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us today. let what the Acts of the Apostles say be our heart's desire. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The whole of the Acts of the Apostles can be summarized in the first chapter, the 8th verse, that you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout the uttermost parts of the earth. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.